It's important in our scripture today to think about what's going on with Jesus. He's at the end of his Galilean ministry. He's been traveling and he's been teaching the big picture, the picture of the kingdom of heaven. Now he's home, and it's before he's beginning the last phase of his ministry, where he is going to go out and begin to tell people about what is coming. So he's getting down to some reality. You know, the let's get real kind of talks. In my house, when we have these kind of talks, we call them the come to Jesus meetings. And so I'm guessing he was having the come to me meetings. So Jesus is home, and he's going to be very shortly beginning to prepare for the cross. So he's talking to his disciples about what will become the church. I love the fact that Jesus knows there's going to be conflict in the church. Jesus may have mentioned that when two or more are gathered in his name, he would be there. And I think we take that to mean when we go to him in prayer. But I think it also means when we're in the midst of conflict, Jesus is there. And that's a comfort to me. While Jesus might have loved us all to get along and to decide things very easily, he knew that wasn't going to happen. There will be conflict, even for us. Even for us. Every church has its moments. That's because every church is made up of people. And guess what? When people get together, we don't always agree, do we? I must admit, I feel like Highland Park has done its work. There have been times when conflict has torn us apart. But a good group of us stayed and did the hard work of learning how to talk and disagree with one another and how to love each other in the midst of it. I've been proud of the way we've addressed issues in this church. One of the best moments in the church that I can remember was a discussion that we were having about our name. We were in Sepp Hall, and we were all discussing what we should do. Should we keep our name? Should we change it? What should we do? And person after person stood up and said, well, this is what I think, this is what I think, and this is what I think. But every one of them ended it with, this is my church. And whatever we decide, this will be my church. What a proud moment that was for me as a pastor to see that we understand how to do it. We love each other enough that we decide that we don't want to tear each other apart. So we discuss in love. So what does the scripture say for us as Christians? What does it say for us as the church, little c? And what does it say for us as the church, big C? For me as an individual, this scripture says that I need to remember that church isn't all about me. Now I'm going to say it. That's not what society wants us to think. Our world wants us to think that everything is about us. So church should be too. I remember growing up, and we went through a difficult time in the church that I grew up in. And I remember saying to my parents, if you don't like it, why don't we go somewhere else? Several other people in the church were leaving, and it was really a difficult time. And I remember my parents saying, church isn't about what we like. I really thought that was so strange. If you don't like it, don't go. And I'm thankful now that I understand. Church is something we need to depend on. We don't need to be independent. Church isn't an entertainment venue where we select what we like best. It's a place where we go to give ourselves away. I believe church is a calling. Just like churches call the ministers because hopefully you feel like God is leading you towards them. And hopefully they feel like God is calling them to their church. I believe God calls individuals to the church where their gifts and resources can best be used. Where each person feels like they fit into that body of Christ that we talk about so much. If we willingly give all that we are, all that we have, then we're going to grow in our relationship with God better than being on our own. But if we hold back, and if we expect someone to hand everything to us, then we're going to stay stagnant in our relationship with God. I can't help wondering why we've come to the place that being dependent on a church is a bad thing. We want to be self-sufficient. We want to come to church and then head home and go about our lives. Maybe because we don't want to be accountable to one another. But is that such a bad thing? I remember as a child, and I know I'm dating myself, but I remember as a child, my parents would, every Sunday, would give me my envelope. And I would put my portion of my allowance in that envelope, and then there were all these boxes along the bottom to check off. Do you remember? There was, did you read your Bible this week? So I would run over to my Bible, and I would read at least one or two so that I could check that box off. Did you visit someone? And I think, oh, I went to my friend Ellen's house, check. Did you study your Sunday school lesson? Gotta leave that one blank. Did you bring a friend? But all those boxes, and I really felt like someone in the office or somewhere took those envelopes and looked them over. And I really felt like they said, oh, that Cheryl, we need to talk to her. That never happened. But I always felt like I was accountable for those little boxes on my envelope. That's part of church. That's part of relationship. I believe this scripture tells us that we're to be in relationship with one another, and that church isn't about coming and sitting in a pew and hearing some good music and a really great sermon. Really great music, too. And going home. It's about relationship. You know, you don't really get in conflict with people if you don't hang around them. You can see someone once a week and pass in the aisles and say hello and never, ever, ever disagree with them. You disagree when you're in relationship. And part of being church means getting to know one another. And that only happens when you put yourself out there and trust. Putting yourself out there comes at a risk. You might just find yourself in conflict with someone that you've learned to love. And that's what Jesus is telling us. Jesus is telling us to put ourselves out there. I know there are people who just hate conflict. I don't enjoy it, but there are people who do love it. There are people who love to get in a great debate with you, and they'll argue up one side and down the other. And when they're all done, they'll laugh and they'll be fine. I'm not built that way. But Jesus tells us here that when we have a problem with someone that we're in relationship with, in church with, we are to be direct and honest and loving and first of all, private. Now, that doesn't mean it's always going to work out, especially not our way. It means that we need to respect one another for being honest. It means we need to go directly to the person we're upset with, and instead of talking about them to others, we talk directly to them. It means we remember what's important in Christian love, and that's not being right, but acting in love. I heard a pastor say once, when asked how to grow a big church, he said, instead of worrying about the big stuff, pay attention to the small stuff. I didn't really get what he was saying right away, and then I listened to him some more, and he explained, when a young single mom drives up to visit your church and it's pouring down rain, and she has her children and all their stuff, and she gets in the door and she doesn't know where to go, she doesn't know what's going on, we're not in relationship. But when she drives up and you greet her with an umbrella and you bring her in and you take her children to their class and you take her to their Sunday school class, you've begun a relationship. It's the little stuff. I remember Sheila Ali telling the story of going to many churches with her mother, who was ill at the time and in a wheelchair and having trouble. And when she drove up to the church, John Miller, before she could even get out of her car, John Miller ran out with a wheelchair and helped her mother in. And he helped her into worship, and after worship, he met her with a wheelchair and rolled her out. Relationship. I do wonder where the church big C comes in with this scripture. How do we as the church deal with what's been going on in our world? How do we deal with racial conflict, with political conflict, with religious conflict as the church? Well, if I had the answer to that, I'd put it in a book and we'd all be set. And I say that jokingly, but the answer really is right here in this scripture. Actually, I might say it's also in Micah 6. We have to stand up for justice. There's no doubt about that. And thank goodness we all have different passions around what we think needs to be addressed. We must go into this world as individuals and as the church, as the body of Christ, and we must seek justice. But here's the clincher. We must act in love, not hate. I see so many people in the name of justice, in the name of God, spewing hate. We must seek justice through love. And maybe that means standing next to someone during hard times, or maybe that means standing up sometimes at the Capitol and voicing our opinion. But in my opinion, and this is just mine, it's got to be done with words of love, through forgiveness and grace. May we be the Church of Jesus Christ when we gather together and when we go into this world. I found this call to worship that we said today, and we're going to say it for many weeks, because I really would like it to really sink into your brain. If you have it, look at it. I'm going to read it to you one more time. Oh God, make the door of this house wide enough to receive all who need human love and fellowship. Narrow enough to shut out envy and pride and strife. Make its threshold smooth enough to be no stumbling block to children nor to straying feet, but rugged and strong enough to turn back our fears. God, make the door of this house the gateway to your eternal kingdom. May we be the church of Jesus Christ when we gather together and when we go into this world. Amen and amen.